This is Radio Superior 1941, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from that era. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1941. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College.
This is radio station KUWS, broadcasting from studios in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 5 o'clock, Tuesday, December the 9th, 1941, and time for the Martin and McKenna Show. I'm Jack McKenna, and my partner, newsman Lou Martin, is standing by with the latest information regarding the war in the Pacific, in Europe, and here at home. We'll bring you weather and some music for your enjoyment as well. But first, we have the Northern Brewery's 5 o'clock news. The good people at Northern Brewery urge you to buy defense bond stamps. Now, here's Lou Martin. Good day to you, sir.
And a good day to you, Jack, and to our listeners. Well, the first name to begin a list of what will probably be a long roll call of soldiers from our area killed in action was written today. Staff Sergeant Andrew Walczynski was reported by the War Department as killed by the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor on Sunday. His next of kin is his mother, Catherine Walczynski, of Wicklow Street in Duluth, along with a sister and two brothers. Andrew Walczynski was a standout football player at Cathedral High School in Duluth shortly after the First World War. He then went on to study medicine at the University of Minnesota. Sergeant Walczynski had been a member of the United States Air Corps for 11 years, and the War Department says his age is 42 years old. The War Department's first list includes 40 names, among them Sergeant Walczynski, but also three others from Wisconsin. They are 21-year-old Private Robert Shadtock of Blue River in Grant County. He was killed at Hickam Field. 32-year-old John Fletcher of Janesville, reportedly killed in the bombing and machine gunning at Wheeler Field. And 22-year-old Private Donald Plant of Wausau, who his commanding officer reports was killed from gunshot wounds at Fort Schaefer in Hawaii. More and more of the information we're getting from Oahu and Pearl Harbor indicates that damage is greater than ever from that Sunday sneak attack on the American Pacific Fleet. The latest to come is from New Hampshire Senator Charles Tory. He demanded today on the Senate floor that the American people be told the whole truth of the extent of losses in the attack. He says his information is that a large part of the Pacific U.S. fleet has been wiped out. Democratic Congressman Dingell of Michigan called for an investigation and possible court-martial of military leaders in Hawaii, saying the disaster could have been at least partially avoided. Mr. Dingell named specifically General H.H. Happ Arnold, Deputy Chief of the Army Air Corps, General Walter Short, who is commanding the Hawaiian Department, and the commander of the Pacific Fleet, Admiral Husband Kimmel. A fellow Democrat then rose to the House floor. Congressman Bullwinkle of North Carolina urged restraint, saying, quote, "It behooves us members to keep our feet on the ground and not act without knowing all the facts." This kind of call to action is concerning the Attorney General of the United States as well. Francis Biddle appealed to the governors of 48 states to show restraint and respect for the law-abiding aliens residing in the United States. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is rounding up alien German, Italian, and Japanese citizens from a list compiled even before the dastardly attack on Pearl Harbor. As of this morning, 400 German and Italians have been brought into custody, while 900 Japanese nationals are being detained. Attorney General Biddle's letter was addressed to the Minnesota Governor Harold Stassen, who's the chairman of the United States Governors Conference. Meanwhile, this atmosphere of near hysteria continues, as shocked Americans hear reports, many of them simply rumors, later proven to be untrue. Two air raid alarms were sounded today in New York, both of which were reputed as simply being dress rehearsals, just only drills. Japanese warplanes were seen reconnoitering over the San Francisco and other California coastal cities, and other reports from the Aleutian Islands in Alaska had Japanese planes that were sighted. Air raid alarms and blackouts were reported in San Francisco and San Jose. But the two squadrons of Japanese planes never have been confirmed. Ironically, these kinds of rumors have also been flying around Japan. CBS radio newsman Ford Wilkins from a listening post in the Philippines reports the Japanese island of Formosa has been bombed by U.S. planes, and the Japanese cities of Tokyo and Kobe had also been attacked. Well, this is why, good listeners, it's so important not to start or spread rumors, not believe stories of spying or gossip of our own neighbors unless it's been officially confirmed. Tomorrow night, President Franklin D. Roosevelt will address the nation in this time of crisis. And at that time, he's expected to clarify our situation. The address can be heard right here on KUWS over the Mutual Broadcasting System at 8 o'clock Central Time. Presidential Press Secretary Stephen Early says that Mr. Roosevelt has accused Nazi Germany of goading the Japanese into this war, and that members of Congress are already expressing support for a declaration of war against Germany and Italy if those nations join forces with Japan. Throughout the past two dark days, Japanese news services are reporting a widening of the Pacific War and a string of uninterrupted Japanese victories in attacks ranging from Thailand to Singapore to the Philippines to Hawaii. A Japanese naval minister says the United States invited this attack by encircling Japan and embargoing trade. The embargoing began as Japanese advanced its war against China several months ago. The minister says the United States was frustrated, and we quote, now the natural growth of Japan, unquote. Meanwhile, Pretoria, South Africa, today declared war against Japan, and the Argentine government pledged any help that it can give to the United States. Now let's hear from our 5 o'clock news sponsor, Northern Brewery, and Jack McKenna.
Thank you, Lou. Urgent times call for urgent measures, friends. And the good folks at Northern Brewery in Superior urge you to give the gift this Christmas that signifies America is not to be caught napping. So give defense bond stamps. These savings bonds not only help you build that nest egg, but also help Uncle Sam and all the good men now being called up in the defense of our nation against this threat from the Far East. So take the advice of the people at Northern Brewery and buy defense bonds today. Lou.
We have some breaking news to pass along to you here from the home front. An explosion on Superior's waterfront has killed two men, injured two others. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has just returned from the scene of the accident. What have you found out, Mike?
Terrible news, I'm afraid. Apparently, the scow Adele with the England Towing Company burst its boiler shortly after noon today, killing one man, throwing three others from the vessel. This 150-foot tub was digging sand from the harbor's bottom, two blocks from the Philadelphia and Reading coal docks in Superior. The name of the dead man has not been released, nor has the identity of the watchman who was thrown from the scow. The two injured have been taken to St. Luke's Hospital in Duluth. Duluth Police Chief Elmer Stovern says they are expected to fully recover. Chief Stovern identified them as Martin Hill of 105 West 1st Street and Louis Onick of the Liberty Hotel in Duluth. The Adele remains at anchor as the U.S. Coast Guard investigates, but again, a boiler burst while the scow Adele was dredging sand today on Superior's waterfront. Lou?
We'll continue to follow that story for you listeners. As sure as the turning of the leaves and the gales of November comes another sign of the changing seasons, the darkening of Superior and Duluth Harbor for the winter. The U.S. Navy branch of the Hydrographic Office has ordered the navigational buoy lights extinguished until this spring. Superior Harbor Buoy No. 4, Eloise Bay Lighted Buoy, and Superior and Duluth Waterfront Buoys were all turned off today. And in other parts of Lake Superior, the Rock Island Entrance Light has been turned off on Isle Royal, along with light stations at Otter Island, Michigan Island, La Pointe, Raspberry Island, Shawamigan Point, and Devil's Island. All the lighthouse keepers will then head for the mainland for the winter. What a year it was on the waterfront, the busiest year ever, breaking a 25-year-old record set in 1916. The last ships are leaving the Twin Ports. the Frontenac left this morning, the last ore boat of the 1941 season. And later this evening, the ship Steel Chemist will leave with a load of scrap metal, making it the very last ship to leave the Twin Ports, and no more ships are scheduled to visit here. About 80 million tons of iron ore were shipped from Lake Superior ports this season. That's quite a bit more than the 66 million tons of ore carried in 1916. 27 million of this year's tonnage came from the Superior iron ore docks. Just as startling is the experts expect that 1942 will be an even larger year because of the war in Europe and the Pacific. Well, Jack, our last story is about a blue plate special at the Hotel Superior, a blue plate of another color that caused an incident there today. Superior Hotel restaurant manager Andrew Doran ended up picking meat and mashed potatoes out of his hair and off of his vest today. It seems like a young man sat down for the blue plate special, working his way to the bottom, scraping the rest of the goodies. The young man came to our trouble spot. He turned the plate over and promptly sent the dish crashing to the counter. Apparently, Mr. Doran discovered the young man was, number one, of draft age, and the picture on the bottom of the plate was of Japan, and the underside of the plate said, "Made in Japan." Enough said, hey, Jack?
Enough said, indeed, Lou. Not surprisingly that people's feelings are running strong. After Sunday's attack on Pearl Harbor and draft quotas being increased by leaps and bounds, did you hear about the Milwaukee Five and Dime store that got rid of all of its Japanese-made stuff?
Well, I sure did. They unceremoniously piled the broken made-in-Japan pottery and knickknacks in a box and put them on display in their storm window.
We're not hearing too much about isolationism anymore, old friend. It's not good to raise the hair on the back of Uncle Sam's neck or have a blue plate special with a Japanese dish. Well, let's take a look at the forecast for this December 9th, 1941, from the U.S. Weather Bureau in downtown Duluth. And friends, bundle up. It's going to get chilly tonight, with lows around 5 below zero and a snow flurry possible. Tomorrow, cloudy skies and flurries expected, with a high only in the teens. Today's high at City Hall was 24 degrees. Around the country, it was 36 in Chicago, 34 Green Bay, a high of 70 in Los Angeles, 39 in Portland, Oregon, and 25 in Minneapolis, St. Paul. So get out the earmuffs if you're heading outside tonight. You know it's that time of year anyway. So let's hear from Vaughn Monroe on the classic Let It Snow, Let It Snow on station KUWS.
Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
When we finally kiss goodnight, how are they going out in the storm?
But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Thank you.
kiss goodnight. How I'll hate to go out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Wonderful wintertime sound of Vaughn Monroe and Let It Snow, as if we have a choice in the matter. Well, these are the times of news bulletins. So here's Lou Martin with this special report.
Well, these dark days of military action appear to be even getting darker. Initial reports of 1,500 Americans killed in the Sunday attack on Pearl Harbor now are being increased to about 2,200 sailors and soldiers killed and more than 1,000 others injured. These figures from the War Department also detail several ships that were sunk. Not just a few old ships, as first reported, but several key ships to the Pacific Fleet, including battleships such as the USS Arizona. And it looks like the scope of the war also will be increased for our nation. United Press is reporting this afternoon that Nazi Germany will make it clear its intentions with the United States in less than 24 hours. Meanwhile, United Press is also reporting bits of charred paper flying from the chimney of the German embassy on Massachusetts Avenue in Washington. This could mean that the embassy staff members are burning classified German documents in preparation for a quick exit from the United States. That's a common practice before war is declared. That's the news up to the moment, Chuck.
Okay, Lou, thank you. Well, I have a little news of my own, a little happier. It's nice to think of the Tri-State Fair this time of year. And the Fair Board today elected its officers. Tri-State Fair Board Chairman will be Ford Campbell. N.B. Thompson was elected Vice President. Max Levine, Secretary. And Andrew Wenzel, Treasurer. Not war nor Japanese planes can stop our Tri-State Fair, by golly. Here's a nifty number for you on this December Tuesday evening. Dorseyland Band and Sweet Lorraine. Thank you. snappy number. Sometimes the oldies are the most fun, recalling a much safer time. But this is a time when everyone is pulling together. Lou has a guest to talk about that.
Father L.J. Quigley of St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Billings Park has a message for all people for us today.
And speaking on behalf of the members of the Catholic faith, of course, Mr. Martin, I just thought it would be of interest to the American Protestants and Jews to hear about the attitude of their Catholic brethren. You know, now that the bugle call is for the sacred name of America, Catholics will respond unquestionably, unhesitantly to that summons. We shall be fighting for God. Our country is the victim of an unjust aggressor. So whatever sacrifice we may have to make, be it increased taxes or maiming of the body or loss of life, we will do it without expecting reward except from God himself. To die in such a cause is second only to martyrdom.
Strong words, Father Quigley.
This is just the way it is now, Mr. Martin. We no longer pray for peace. A prayer that has been on our lips for quite some time now. No, that time is past. Now we must pray for victory and then a just peace. Thrilled with the wholesomeness of God and the Immaculate Mother, we can have a singleness of purpose. In good conscience, we can crack down on our enemy, the Japanese soldiers, and it sounds like the Germans too, until they are on their knees in defeat. We must be united. That's what I'm here to say to everyone. Black, white, Hindu, Indian, our sole allegiance is now to the stars and stripes. Our battle cry is for God, the Immaculate Mother and country. We can't lose. It's invincible.
Thank you very much, Father Quigley, with the St. Patrick Catholic Church in Billings Park.
God bless the United States of America in its time of need.
Thank you, Father. Thank you very much.
And I hope to see you this Sunday in church, Jack. I missed you last Sunday, and, well, you can see what can happen.
Well, don't
be putting the load on me, Father.
Yeah, you've got a great sense of humor, Father. It's not really my fault, folks. But I'll be along this Sunday, and you can bet every Sunday after that, you can count on that.
And I always do, Jack, my son. I always do.
Time now, though, for a popular number for you from our music collection. Here's Ella Fitzgerald and White Christmas.
The tree.
one and only Ella Fitzgerald and White Christmas. Well, let's check in with our own Harry Farrig for the latest community news. You know, there's a lot of good news still going on out there.
Yes, Jack. We shouldn't forget the many good things that make our country great. And that always starts with our young people. Cathedral High School in Superior has announced their honor roll. Principal Sister Albertine says highest honors went to Mary Cadigan, Marjorie Casey, Elaine Chapman, Mary Satek, Mary Dumas, Mary Campbell, Connie Shears, Donald Glum, Marjorie Conley, and Irene Peters. And the best of Cathedral's freshman class includes Robert LaJess, Donald Payne, and Neil O'Shaughnessy. I know it's December, but there's baseball in the air. The Superior Civic Baseball Club president, Jim Dugan, has called a meeting for 8 o'clock tonight at the VFW. Mr. Dugan says a radio will be at the meeting, so they won't miss President Roosevelt's speech tonight. And Jack, Colonel Elmer Olson and Lieutenant Colonel Martin Ackerson go back a long way and are best of friends. Many of our community are holding their breath for Lieutenant Colonel Ackerson's safety, since he's the executive officer of the 19th Infantry in Hawaii. He sent Colonel Olson pictures just last week, by coincidence, of the Schofield camp where many soldiers from Superior and Upper Wisconsin are serving on Oahu. Jack, it's a frightening time.
As a matter of fact, let's go now to Lou, who has yet another bulletin for us.
We have several things to pass along, Jack. There's word that British Prime Minister Winston Churchill is planning to travel to Washington soon to meet with President Roosevelt. The two would plan the best course of action, especially if Germany and Italy decide to make war with the United States. Again, Berlin has said that they'll make an announcement within 24 hours. Several other Central and Latin American nations are rallying behind the United States since Sunday's attack on Pearl Harbor. In Havana, Cuba's Congress declared war on Japan. The Honduran government has, by unanimous vote, also put itself in a state of war with Japan and has ordered martial law for the duration of the conflict. Jack?
Thank you, my friend. Now, good listeners, you know the latest news, and we'll be back again same time, same place, the good Lord and the draft board willing. For Lou Martin, I'm Jack McKenna. Good night.
This is Radio Superior 1941, weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research assistance from Sarah Dormer. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1941 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530. Email at simonson@wpr.org or write to us at KUWS Radio, UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1941. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.